Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 3, episode 27. This week we have some more fun stuff, some news to talk about. We're going to be talking about our newest addition to the team, St. Thomas. We're going to talk about his recruiting and like just how we're both pretty excited to welcome him to the squad. Maybe a little bit about his like announcement and like all the teams that he was. That were vying for his playing services. And then we have a coaching staff. So we're going to be talking about all four of the new guys, talking about how they fit into our culture, how they fit into, and like what maybe each of their roles are, because there's a new coach that has a role that we've never had before. So we need to talk about that. And then I think towards the end of the podcast, we'll talk about a couple of the guys who are leaving the team, unfortunately. We'll do a season in review, maybe a career in review for both Big Frank and Cooper Kafis. So, Lou, we're back. I know we're a couple days late, but you feeling good? You feeling ready to talk Blairs with me?
I'm excited. I love seeing new players, and I love seeing those staff filled out. I'm excited.
Cool. Well, since it is an off-season podcast, we're just going to jump right into it here. So the first thing is, let's talk about St. Thomas. I think we talk about this every time we get a new recruit, but I think it's kind of our favorite thing to talk about is especially when we get a new freshman, because there's just always so much potential. There's like, these guys usually are the best players on their team or one of the best players on their team. They're always going up against competition where they can really excel, like whether it's St. Thomas, he's 6'7". Maybe he's always being guarded by someone who's 3 inches shorter than him. And in years past, we've seen like recruiting such as like Big Frank, who was bigger than everyone else, and Cooper, who was shooting over everyone else, and whoever, Marquise Kennedy playing in Chicago. Like, there's just always so many highlights, and that is kind of fun to watch. So I've been watching a lot of highlights on St. Thomas, but Lou, I'm just gonna throw the ball in your court to start. Why don't you maybe tell me like what you thought, any initial reaction, or like maybe even just start with his commitment. Like, were you surprised? How'd you feel when he revealed his Loyola t-shirt and was picking us to come play for us?
Yeah, I wish I could have gotten him a little bit of a nicer t-shirt. Wish it just wasn't a classic white. But, I'm more excited to see the logo on it, of course. It was a little bit of a surprise, just because I didn't realize. I thought we were too late. Nothing against Drew or nothing against London, because he did mention in his speech, St. Thomas mentioned that he had Coach Drew and Coach London really talk to him and explain the impact he could make at Loyola. So I really thought I was a little bit surprised, more surprised than I thought I was, just because I thought we were late to the game. He had schools like TCU, Mississippi State, Virginia Tech, all schools. Virginia Tech definitely in the tournament, of course, and always top 25 contention. VCU even out there. And I believe there was also a school, I mean, like Old Dominion offered him that he had a teammate of his on committed to. So really thought it could go fluctuate anyway, but really, really excited that it landed our way. And that was just overall just the excitement I had after watching the commit. Again, it was funny. I think one was that his Instagram video, I don't think fully went, or they missed it or something, because then you hear at the end he goes, "You missed it," and I just laughed because I was like, "Hey, we'll get a hang of it. Don't worry. I'm pretty sure Austin knows how to do pretty good video recording." So, but excited to see him commit.
Yeah, that's for sure. But yeah, like you mentioned, like all the other teams that were recruiting him, I kind of almost wonder, because it seems like a lot of the teams kind of offered him in late like 2019, early 2020. And I'm kind of curious if that like extra year of eligibility like impacted, like maybe teams like Virginia Tech and Mississippi State and stuff like that might have not rescinded the offer, but might have said, well, we got to wait and see what some of our players are going to do. And, because I'm kind of wondering like how did Drew like convince him to come to Loyola? Because it's not playing time. It's not like even if our seniors all don't come back, we still got guys that are going to be ahead of him in the rotation. We got new transfers. We got returning sophomores and juniors. So, I was kind of interested. I wonder how like Drew convinced him to come here, but I think it had to be like the commitment to him. Like maybe he St. Thomas really wants to be maybe a big guard, or maybe he wants to be more of a small forward, and Drew like was talking to him about that, or just winning. You know, that's also, I mean, winning kind of cures all problems, right? So maybe Drew just convinced him, like, come here, we're winning conference championships, we're winning games in the tournament, we're winning, you know, non-conference, big non-conference games. So but yeah, I was just like you, and I was kind of surprised too. I just didn't really know what to think. It feels like, to me, like such a big recruit, and I think we'll talk about this a little bit. You know, these offers are kind of teams that we really haven't gone up against in recruiting battles for players. You know, I think there have been guys in the past, like, I think Marquise Kennedy had like a Florida State offer, and I don't know, like, I'm sure you could even go further back and like convincing guys like Clayton Custer to come to Loyola over Iowa State. Like, you know, there's other teams, but we don't really see teams like Mississippi State, Virginia Tech, even like VCU or Richmond really compete with us. So it was kind of interesting to beat those teams out. And I'm just like super pumped to have them on the team. But what, have you watched any video? I have. I didn't know if you had watched.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. It's actually interesting. The one thing that surprised me was it immediately didn't catch my eye that he was 6'6", 6'7". Mm-hmm. And that's just because I think he moves a lot quicker than I thought he was.
Yeah.
And just really, really a force at the rim. There was definitely a problem, at least from the video I watched. He's got a decent shot. So, really excited about that. Again, what I saw was his driving to the rim. Again, he's got a teammate, it's Hunter Salas, who's top five, top 10 in the country. So I think playing off a great guard or great teammate like that was really great to see in the highlights, because you could see them bouncing off each other. I think there was a skip pass that was just like, I don't know how they found each other. So that was actually really exciting just to see them playing off each other and seeing St. Thomas really work well with a great point guard. So I was like, oh, we have point guards that know where to find guys and can pass and go well. So I was really excited about the potential of him just fitting in more to the small forward. I know you brought up earlier, maybe a tall point guard definitely has the ball handling skills to take it. I just think he could fit well in that small forward, to the rim type of guy, but that's what I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're spot on about like the fact that he plays really quick. I think he's really agile. There's not too much video actually. Like, I was looking on YouTube, there's only like 5 or 7 videos really. There's like a couple from this last year and then 4 or 5 from his junior year. And so I was just kind of trying to see like what his growth was like, because he had an interesting career. Like, his freshman year of basketball, he played on the freshman team, and then sophomore year he played on the JV team or sophomore team, whatever the equivalent is there. And it wasn't until like the very end of the season he even got on varsity. And then junior year, he played on varsity and he averaged like 16 points. And then this year he was the Max Preps, you know, Nebraska Player of the Year. Like, I mean, kind of crazy, like his growth for him. And that says a lot about the type of individual that he is, right? Like, the just like continuously getting better. But I was really interested to see how did he get to that next level, right? How did he go from like a junior year to being the player of the year in senior year? And I think he did like get more control of his body. He really did look like just kind of a lanky guard when he was his junior year. He didn't go to the rim like as much, at least from like the highlights, right? Like, you know, who knows, but, he really, I think, started to understand like, oh, I'm 6'6", 6'7". These guys aren't as big as me. Like, I think he started to understand. He's kind of like, I was watching his junior highlights and he kind of looks like, this is probably a silly analogy, but you see like a really big dog and they just like jump on the couch. They jump on your lap. They like, they have no idea how big they are. Like, they think they're just this little like toy poodle or whatever. That's kind of what I thought St. Thomas was like his junior year. Like, I don't think he understood that he was 6'6" and like was big and strong. And then I think his senior year, he really like took advantage of that. But because he played as like a bigger guard his junior year, he does have pretty good ball handling. And he does have a nice shot. My favorite part about his jump shot is he gets it up really high, like over his head, which is for taller guys is usually, you know, if you're 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", you can shoot from your chest because no one's going to block your shot. You get lazy and you fall into like a habit, a bad habit. But he doesn't have that problem. He's shooting over top of his head every single time. There's definitely some tweaks, but it looks like a really solid jump shot, which is exciting. But yeah, I just like, I think he has so much potential. And it's kind of crazy. And like, we were talking about this a little bit offline, but like, he's just not getting any love from any of the recruiting websites. Like, it's just so weird how a player of the year in his state is not even on any, he's not even in the top like 250 of any recruiting websites. He was second team all American second team on Max Preps. Every single college basketball player. I got to pull that up actually, but because I think there's like six or seven guys on the first team, but so he's like top, you know, 15 easily. And that's just only players that have played this year. So I think that's kind of the catch is there's probably, you know, 10 or 15 guys that might be ahead of him normally, but because they didn't play full seasons, they didn't rank them. But still, I mean, like, even in that case, like, what? So there's 50 guys maybe better than him? Like, it's super strange to me that, like, nobody is giving him any love. And maybe that's just the problem with, like, COVID. No one can travel. Like, coaches can't see players as much. Scouts can't see players as much. So maybe they're just kind of going with what they had from before COVID. Lou, do you feel the same way? Like, is it – it's weird,
yeah,
right?
So it is weird, yeah. So I automatically, even last Monday when we said, hey, we have this commit or we have this recruit on the horizon, I started looking. And, again, 247 had him as – I think they have him as 233rd best player in the country at this class of 2021 seniors. So I was like, oh, okay. And then I checked Rivals has him actually at the top 50 – as a top 50 small forward in the class. Mm-hmm. So you could depend on where that lands. So I was like, okay, so he's got some traction. And then you see the Max Prep, and I did some research. Max Prep, they don't maybe have as solid ratings, but again, if you look at the list, like, they're not wrong with a lot of the guys. You have Chet Holmgren, of course, number one overall. They have other guys. They have his teammate, Hunter Silas, who's a top 10 recruit. So it's like, well, St. Thomas has got to be somewhere in the mix. He's got to be some talked about. He's got to be potentially definitely top 200. I'm thinking, I personally think he's definitely top 150. Just because the way, again, is it's 247 doesn't even have, and for those of you who don't know, 247 is kind of one of the top, again, I'm not going to say premier because they all make mistakes, they don't keep everything updated, but they don't even have that he committed anywhere. So, and someone could say, oh, is that because we're a mid-major? No, like they have commits who committed just today or 4 days ago to Samford, to Buffalo, to Duquesne. So they keep updated with pretty much a lot of schools from big to small. It just, for some reason, they just haven't updated St. Thomas. So, again, I think it's a weird situation. We're doing rankings, but I think his play, his video has spoken for itself. Again, quite honestly, hey, I think I love when they underestimate some of our recruits. And I think a big name, of course, is Cameron Crowley. Everyone had him low. No one really big. I think, of course, he got a few offers toward the end of his I think he committed right before his senior year, so he didn't even get any more offers. Because usually at a big man, you'll get some more offers from schools who missed out on other big guys. So, and then if anyone remembers the Florida game, every commenter kept saying, this guy looks like an SEC center. So, again, when they start seeing us on the main stage, I think the people who start saying, why didn't this kid get offered? So, again, really just surprised schools like Nebraska or Creighton even didn't look at St. Thomas. I thought at least especially Creighton would be a school that would offer him. So, again, really intrigued. But again, one school that we did beat out, and I just got to admit it, is that Valpo did offer St. Thomas, and I'm, of course, happy to see that we beat out Valpo. So, but again, excited to see him, excited for everything I've seen. And also have to say, this was one of the first recruiting videos that I was like, that's a hype video. Like, that was really, really, really cool. For those of you who don't know, this is like a commitment video. I don't know if he had it done by Loyola or something else, but it was pretty good. Really liked it, and just a great overall thing. So really excited.
Yeah, it was fun though. That video was cool. If anyone hasn't seen it, I think it's probably on both Saints like Twitter and Instagram at this point, I would imagine. But yeah, just to kind of like like talk about more like the All-American team and stuff. I was just kind of looking at some of the other players. And on the first team, there actually is one junior too. So like technically there's only like potentially eight players that would be better than him. But so you got, I'm just talking about the schools, right, that these players have committed to. And it's just kind of crazy that we're in this category. Tennessee, Kentucky, Gonzaga, University of Illinois, Florida State, Alabama, Duke, Auburn, Loyola Chicago, Michigan, Gonzaga, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan State, Ohio State, Baylor, Michigan State, UConn, Purdue, UConn, Kentucky, and then there's Dayton. There's one Dayton. So it's just kind of crazy to like even consider us like to be in that category of like getting a player that like would commit to potentially some of those types of other schools. These are all is every blue blood. I mean, except I don't think I said Kansas, which is kind of crazy, but you know, Duke and Kentucky and University of Illinois are the last year's champion. Baylor, Gonzaga, you know, got the top recruit again. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's wild. It's fun to be a part of that category. Even if he's not getting the national recognition, I think, like, we'll talk about it and our fans will talk about it and appreciate getting a player of his caliber to come to Loyola. And just, like, what a great start to the Drew Valentine recruiting era, I guess, if you will. Like, I wouldn't have even like thought of this like 5 years ago when I started going to school here, right? Like, oh, you know, we get a new coach, like, oh, well, it's gonna take a while. Yeah, no, it won't. Drew is recruiting new players and also keeping old ones.
Exactly. No, that was about to say, and it's like loving also the same day St. Thomas commits, and they got the reassurance from Knight. They get the reassurance from Swagger 1.0 or 2.0. We'll figure out who we get to. But even then from Ty Johnson, he reaffirmed on Twitter. Other Swagger 2.0, 1.0, he reaffirmed on Twitter. So really that was also exciting for me that we didn't kind of see any hesitation from some of these guys. That, and also that Valentine wasn't worried to come back and talk to them. So it was just really, really great to see.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we're super pumped about Saint. Maybe we'll just keep talking about him a little bit over the next week, you know, next week too. We can watch some more stuff on him, but I don't want to take up all our time just talking about him, even though I would love to, because he's a super fun player, lots of potential. I'm interested to see whether he's going to be a guard or a wing. I think he really can do either one. I think he might be more valuable as a wing player, but that's just my opinion. Yeah, I don't know, Lou. I guess the last thing I do want to say is we didn't even really talk about his senior stats. So he did average 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists per game last year. And he had one triple-double, and he almost had a second one in the state championship game. So St. Thomas is pretty darn skilled in a lot of different ways. Lou, any like kind of last thoughts? Or do you want to keep talking about St., or would you rather move on?
I think I love talking about him. I think there's a few things, but again, I think the fact that he was able to play a senior year and put up those numbers was a great, great thing to see.
Yeah, for sure. The other great thing to see is our coaching staff being filled out. It had been rumored that it was coming and stay tuned. And Nick Schultz was like, yeah, stay tuned. And I was replying to him like, how tuned? Like, when can we expect this? And I think it just ended up being taking longer through HR, and I'm sure like certain people had to sign off on it and all that kind of mumbo jumbo. But we do have a coaching staff, obviously led by Drew Valentine, but the two that have stuck around, Patrick Wallace, who was our video coordinator, has been promoted to assistant coach, so congrats to him. And then London DeCobo, who played for us and then was a grad assistant, and now last year is the director of basketball operations, and he'll stay in that spot. It does kind of sound like he's coaching though too, or recruiting at the very least, because like
St. Thomas did mention Coach London, which was interesting. But I think a crazier thing is that I think Valentine said in the press release that London's been the part of the team for, or it's part of the program for 10 years.
Dang.
So to have a guy from a player to like a grad coach, and then he became a graduate assistant and then the Dobo. So really working his way up, but kind of committed to the program overall.
Yeah, also a fantastic dresser. I mean, you know, we talk about Drew's shoes and Drew's socks and, you know, our former coach's jacket and all that kind of stuff. But London is a very sharp dresser himself. So I think we gotta keep our eyes out. Maybe we can get like a, I can't make up something on the spot that'll rhyme, but I think we need a Twitter account for some London fit picks this upcoming season. Back to serious basketball talk. So our four coaches, I'm just going to list them off, the new ones. We have Amaro Morgan and Sean Dwyer, who both are assistant coaches. And then Dan Hipscher is the special advisor to the head coach. And also new to the staff is CJ Rivers, who will be the video coordinator. And he'll be taking over for Patrick Wallace, who was promoted to assistant coach. So, yeah, four new guys, three of them pretty young. One is a kind of a grizzled vet, and that's Dan Hipscher. I don't know if you have any just kind of general thoughts or if you want to just jump in. I know we were each going to talk about
two of them. Yeah, let's just jump in.
Cool. So first one is Amaro Morgan. He is from South Alabama. So he was the associate head coach there. He originally joined in 2018. He was the assistant coach for, I think, just 1 year. And then the past 2 years, he's been the associate head coach there at South Alabama. I think the team is marginally successful, I would say. Since he's been there, they were 37-28. So, you know, nothing too crazy. But he did play college ball at, Idaho State? I'm pretty sure.
Idaho State, yep.
Yeah, Idaho State, pretty successful player there. One kind of interesting fact I saw, his high school team in 2005, they had three eventual NBA players, Jordan Hill, Devin Ebanks, and Wesley Johnson, which is just kind of, weird. And they're all, none of them are studs by any means, but I think Jordan Hill had a pretty good career, and I think Wesley Johnson played for a bunch of years too. So, just kind of a weird thing, but, so a lot of people, the new hires, this Amaro Morgan was the one that I at least read, or from what I saw, had the most like general acceptance and like approval, and like they thought he was a really good hire. Sounds like a kind of a young up and coming coach. I think we figured out he's like probably 31 or 32. Just doing a good job. Lots of praise from kind of national college basketball writers. I forget who specifically, I'm pretty stoked about this. I think that's cool that he's from South Alabama, he was coaching in Alabama. That's kind of an interesting like potential recruiting place. I know, you know, you go up against, there's a good amount of Alabama teams, but even if we could be scouting that just even a little bit more, I think that's kind of a good avenue to explore. I'm pretty stoked about Amaro Morgan. He seems like he's going to be a really good addition to the staff. I'm trying to think, did we figure out, was there any more connections, or what? Those are two of the other coaches, weren't they?
Yeah, those are, for the other two coaches. Yeah. So, I'm excited for Morgan. I think that just is an exciting new thing, maybe potentially also the new setup that we got going on. But I think the advisor role because he is the most experienced on the coming into the new staff. So something we haven't seen before, or at least in recent years.
Oh, I don't you know mean for that. Dan Hipscher?
Yeah, then for Dan with the new role. So two different kind of hires, I think, an up and coming. And then one that's been around for some, which is so interesting, I find, is that we have one who's been around and then one who is up and coming. So, again, I think they can really bounce off each other. So really be interested to see how that works out.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about I didn't talk too much about Dan Hipscher yet. Do you want me to talk about him, or do you want to talk about one of the other guys first.
Yeah, let's just go into, I think we can, you can tie it into the connection. I'll do Sean Dwyer. So really interesting hire. Again, I think we're not Sherlock Holmes here, but I think we found some connections. So Sean Dwyer, we think, has a connection to Drew Valentine from Michigan State. He is a graduate of Michigan State. I believe he was a graduate assistant. Dwyer went on right away, right after school, went on to become a video coordinator at a whole bunch of Florida, Arkansas. And then funny enough, he was a video coordinator at Alabama and then assistant coach at Alabama for a total 4 seasons at Alabama. I think he actually, which we found out, crossed paths with a new assistant coach of ours, Dan Hipscher. Mm-hmm. And then Dwyer's just been coaching up. Now, last recently, assistant coach at Cincinnati. Cincinnati had some weird situation going on with their coaches, so I think Dwyer was looking for actually a new spot, and this opened up. So really just interesting young guy. I think he's from Michigan. He's from Michigan State, so I think that. And then I think he's just a young guy that can really kind of help, recruit. That's what I'm kind of thinking, if he'll be around recruiting as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I think Amaro Morgan is really also going to be the other key recruiter, as well as London. I think everyone's going to be recruiting guys that play different roles. It's just going to be intrigued to see who grabs for what. But that was just interesting, Sean Dwyer coming out of Cincinnati there.
Yeah, and so then the next one, which we'll probably spend a little bit more time talking about, is Dan Hipscher, who most recently was an associate head coach for Oakland. And then he retired at the end of, I think, 2019. I don't think he coached last year at all. And then apparently came out of retirement to join Drew's staff, which probably says a lot about what Drew talked to Dan about, I would imagine. There was a little, I saw a little bit on Twitter about people theorizing that the Oakland situation was a little weird between him and the head coach. I have no idea what could have been like the problem or the issue, but maybe just a little bit of like a frayed relationship there. But nonetheless, coming out of retirement to join Drew's staff, like I mentioned before, he is the special advisor to the head coach, which is an interesting new position. But before we talk about that, he has been a head coach. So he, besides, you know, now Drew Valentine, is the only one on the staff that has had any head coaching experience. He was a head coach at Stetson, then went to coach at Akron, where they won one regular season title in his, looks like, 10 years there, in the Mid-American Conference. And then he took some bigger assistant coach jobs at Arkansas, South Florida, and Alabama, which that's the key one, is Alabama. And then he finished up his head coaching career at University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, which used to be Texas Pan American, in the Western Athletic Conference. So not a ton of head coaching success, I wouldn't say, but definitely competitive at Akron. A couple, it looks like, three top three finishes in 10 years. And that one regular season title, never made it to the NCAA tournament. But like I mentioned before, was the assistant coaches at Arkansas, South Florida, and Alabama. And Lou, what is the Alabama connection there? Who did he work with?
He worked with Mr. Sean Dwyer there, so they know each other.
Yeah, they were both assistants. What was do you remember what Sean Dwyer's position was there?
Sean Dwyer was video coordinator.
Okay. So they were both working under Anthony Grant, who we figured out
he's coach now at Dayton.
Yeah, at the University of Dayton. So kind of a small world. I don't know how we got all these Alabama connections, like, you know, with Morgan being an associate head coach at South Alabama, and then you got Hipscher and Sean Dwyer being working at University of Alabama at the same time. So who knows? But Lou, what do you make of this, like, special assistant to the head coach, or special advisor to the head coach? What does that mean? Like, does that mean, is he Does he get paid more? Just, or what do you think?
No, nothing like that. No, definitely doesn't get paid more. Just I think it's the fact that his role is kind of potentially advising. He's the only guy on the staff who has head coaching experience. He's the only guy who has been the head coach. So I think that's the main facto. And I think personally is he came out of retirement. So maybe he's not looking to potentially be there 100% of the time during practice, or maybe he's looking to be more of again, the advisor role, like suggesting things. So not 100% sure what he wants out of it. And maybe we'll see. I think what really that I'm intrigued with is just, you have someone who's served a whole bunch of time. I think Valentine said he was fortunate to spend a season coaching with him, and he learned so much from him. So I think that was the interesting thing in the press release, that he actually coached with alongside him. Even though it was a short time, he helped him, he said, tremendously. So I think that, and then I think a great line is that he expects that he has worn so many hats, so he kind of expects that to be a critical role here. So really interesting. I think that's what Drew's looking for, a guy who's willing to wear different hats depending on the situation. Maybe talk to a recruit, help him with maybe he knows guys at other programs to get scheduling. It's going to be different things, but I think it's that advisor role, less of just a one-time role and more of a can wear many different hats.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think he's probably going to carve out like his own role too. Maybe they're like, hey, you know, come join the staff. You can do whatever you want. Like, come be around, give Drew some pointers, help out with some coaching, do some recruiting if you want or not. But I think it might be kind of like you said, like, I think he's just kind of figuring it out and trying to help out as best he can. So I think we'll probably end up figuring it out throughout the season. Like when we hear, you know, like you said, maybe he's not going to be there 100% of the time. Maybe he is just going to like come around for game prep and games. Like, I don't know. So we'll have to keep an eye out. I think ultimately it's probably not that big of a deal. Like, I don't think it's like a game breaker. Like, if we didn't have him, I wouldn't know any different, right? Like, this is a new position this year. But if nothing else, it's a great addition. It adds a veteran. It adds someone who, you know, has been around a time or two at many different schools, doing many different, like you said, wearing many different hats. So excited to have him on the staff. Lou, do you want to talk about the last new addition as well?
Yeah, so last new addition is actually, I think, just the only new hire that has something to do with the Valley, which was really interesting. I know one of us joked about potentially a Greg Lansing, which I think was far-fetched, but I appreciate the connection. CJ Rivers, just coming from Colorado State, but actually played 4 years at Drake. So he knows the Valley. He's from Illinois. I think his time at Drake, he pretty much was a starter. I think his senior year, he was a full-time starter. Wasn't really a points guy. I think he was just an all-around point guard move. So I think he might be working with the guards. I think that would be really cool. Again, he's filling in that traditional, you could say, video coordinator, but I think also it'd be something where he could work with guys. He's played. He's a recent player. I think he's the most recent on the staff to have played recently. He's the only guy on the staff who's played really recently. So he's there. He knows the competition. He knows kind of coaching styles too in the Valley. So be interesting what he brings. He comes from Colorado State, so a big program as a video coordinator there. So again, I think he's looking to just do what Patrick Wallace did, video coordinator, then assistant coach, whether it's here or another place. But again, always looking to better himself. And I think this is a really cool hire. Don't know any connection there, but I think it's just absolutely cool to have our staff be bigger than what I think it's been in recent years. So I think Valentine is looking for someone who's a former player and then also someone who could make a good transition from like being a player to a coach. So I think that's something I'm always good to have, like a high energy person on the staff. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We excited to have CJ on the part of the squad, and hopefully he can you know, learn a thing or two, and who knows, maybe he's going to be like London and stick around for 10 years. You never know.
So that would be crazy. Oh, be part of the Valley for his whole career. That would be crazy.
Might just be the beginning of his story. Who knows? But yeah, so, I mean, I'm super excited about the staff. I think just generally, like, I think I'm a little bit more – I'm a little happier than I thought I would be. Like, I guess I didn't really know what to expect. I think kind of like what you mentioned, Lou, like I thought there might be a little bit more Valley connection. But I don't think it's a bad thing that actually, you know, like I'm glad he's doing it his way. This is what Drew wants. This, he should have the guys that he wants on his team. Like he's not a Valley guy, right? Drew is from, you know, went to Oakland and Michigan State ties. Like he doesn't have any real ties to the Valley. If anything, it's probably more Horizon League than the Valley. Mm-hmm. And he should have the staff that he wants. And it's obvious that no one was pressuring him to go any which way. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if, you know, the AD stepped in and is like, hey, we want you to sign, like, three guys from the Valley, right? Like, we want you to have this type of staff. And I don't think that's what happened at all. They just gave him free rein. I'm glad he signed, you know, like, I guess he signed. I don't know if that's really how it works, but you know, he got a couple black coaches, which I think is great because I think that's one thing that he's got, one of the many things he's got going for him, being the youngest coach and also being black. I think that's really important. And a couple, most of the guys, new guys are young. I mean, like five of the six guys. I don't think Sean Dwyer's 40. I would be really surprised.
Oh no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, most of these guys.
He graduated in 2009, so yeah, I think he's just 33, yeah. 32, 33, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, five of these six guys, well, including
pretty
Drew.
Pretty sure majority except for Ken Hibbs is under 40.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just so like
young staff.
Probably going to go through some growing pains, probably going to make some mistakes. Like, I think that's kind of to be expected. But, you know, if this staff can kind of grow together and – you know, hopefully we're talking about championships plural, you know, when we look back and maybe got Drew's signing on for a second contract extension or something, who knows. But good staff. I don't know, Lou, what, just kind of any last thoughts on like the staff as a whole? How'd you feel about it?
I definitely did not. I didn't know where it was going. I thought it was going to be the typical Chicago, like not one single kind of recruiter of Chicago or a guy really tied to Chicago. So that was interesting. Not saying we need it again, just interesting since a lot of our recruits recently have been from the Chicagoland area. So I was joking myself. I thought maybe there might have been an Illinois Wolves connection just because recently we've recruited so much from the Illinois Wolves, but no. So yeah, interesting to see. Nothing shocking, but also nothing that I expected. It's again a whole new face. Lift to the program. Every guy except for Wallace and London, of course, and Drew are new, so whole new faces, but excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, agreed. So I think the only other thing I really want to talk about here is a couple of the guys that are going to be leaving the team this year, at least as of, I mean, Cooper has signed on to play at Samford in Alabama, nonetheless. And then Big Frank originally was signed to go to Abilene Christian, but the head coach took a different job, so now he's back in the transfer portal. I doubt he's coming back to Loyola. I mean, he could, I guess, like, but I kind of don't think so. So those two guys, their careers are probably over as Loyola Ramblers. The only other one is Baylor Hebb, but I haven't seen a whole ton about his recruiting. I actually wouldn't be shocked if he came back to Loyola or is at least trying, like considering it. I've seen just a couple people asking questions and tweeting about it and a little bit on like Rambler Mania and stuff that could be a possibility, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But for now, why don't we just kind of, we can talk about the two players, their year in review. I mean, for Big Frank, it's not going to be much, but I guess for Big Frank, maybe we can just talk about his career as a whole. Out of high school, I mean, he was like a 3.5-star recruit or maybe even like...
Yeah, he was up there, yeah.
Yeah, he was a really, really high recruit. He had played for La Lumiere, which is the same school that Paxson Wojcik went to, produces pros after pros after pros. And I think there was a lot of high hopes for him, especially like freshman year. He was the backup to Cam. You know, he came in, he played great defense. He always had some high flying block shots and, just like great rebounder. And he just didn't play that much, but I think one of his biggest downfalls was, not free throws, fouling, always got into foul trouble. But in 2018, 2019, he played 33 games. I'd venture to bet that's every game. I don't know. You know, it's around there. He only averaged 2 points and two rebounds, had 15 block shots. And I don't know. I mean, sophomore year, he was battling injuries at the beginning of the season. Didn't he break, like, a finger, if I remember, or, like, a thumb?
Yeah, I believe that was it, yeah.
So he missed a decent portion of that season. He only played in 23 games. Pretty much the same stats. He averaged just over 2 points a game, 1.8 rebounds. I don't know. I mean, it's just I don't want to say that he wasn't good, like, in a Loyola uniform, but I definitely thought he would be better. I definitely thought he would be the backup for Cam every year. And then, like, his senior year, he would take over as the starting center and – you know, average 9 points and six rebounds a game or something. And he just never was that player. I don't know if, I mean, the health definitely played a big issue or played a big role in his development. He didn't get the playing time really this year, especially he didn't play at all this year. And he didn't play much last year really either when he was healthy. So I don't know, Lou, what's your... Maybe.
Yeah, my thoughts are had high hopes for Frank. I think, yeah, the backup center, of course, was the role. Then, of course, thinking he'd slide into the starting. I think he just never got the time, and I don't know if it was his development or just Porter just never wanting to go off the depth of more than maybe seven or eight guys. So he worked Cam, and he played Cam, and Frank got – you could see there was always those highlights of him having crazy blocks. Never could really control himself, I think, to collect himself, really, to be, as fundamental as Cam, because Cam wasn't as athletic. Like, Frank absolutely is so athletic. He jumps for every block. He grabs a rebound. I do think he wasn't as strong with the rebounds, so he just had a few flaws. But I think, personally, if he played more, you could have seen a development more. But, again, the coaching staff really didn't potentially see that as a thing. They wanted to have a guy who wasn't maybe as raw. So I don't know. It was intriguing. I think it lends on the shoulders of the coaching staff, could have played him more. And then if he had more playing time, then we could make probably a better, better kind of critiquing. So I think a little tough, but definitely a lot. The hopes coming in from his senior year, I had high hopes and it just didn't really get reached. So it was kind of tough, but again, all the best to him. Always a great guy. He was happy. I think he was always a team player, always a high energy guy. So excited to see that he could continue his playing career.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes to like a low major or mid major and we see him 2 years from now averaging like 10 points and 10 rebounds a game. Like he's just like that athletic and that skilled that like even without like all the fundamentals, he could still put up stats. So you know, hopefully he goes somewhere. Hopefully he can play 25, 30 minutes a game. Hopefully he can make highlights somewhere else. But, you know, unfortunately, it won't be at Loyola. But we wish him all the best. And hopefully he is happy wherever he ends up. And then the next guy is Cooper Kafis. This one's a little – I mean, they're all tough, right? Like, they're all – you know, we like all of them and we start to like really enjoy watching all of them play. But this one, again, is similar, like in injuries, right? Like injuries really hampering his career at Loyola. But Cooper, known for his great hair, known for his 3-point shooting ability. He is going to transfer out and looks like he's going to be joining a Samford team who actually is like, this is kind of off topic, but collecting a lot of talent there. I've been looking at the team and they got a lot of talent. But yeah, out of high school, he was coming from Kansas City. He was, I don't think he was super highly rated. I think another like maybe three-star or so recruit, but played on the same AAU team as Clay and Ben on Mokan Elite. Went on, had a great freshman year. I mean, just stellar. He was all freshman team, all bench team. He shot almost 47% from three. He only averaged just under 6 points a game, but he was shooting so well that he was such a threat and really he played nearly 22 minutes a game his freshman year. Averaged a rebound and an assist per game, and just like every time he stepped out and had the ball on 3-point line, you had to come and guard him because he was a threat to make a three every single time he touched the ball. Lou, any thoughts about him, like Cooper, like his freshman year?
Yeah, absolutely. Freshman year was just great. I think his first game he had 19 points, so just absolutely amazing to see. Had high hopes. His freshman year, if you don't remember, he was the only one who actually came up and played against Bradley in the semifinal game right before the championship. So really, really had such high hopes. And then just, again, the injury. And then this year, it was really weird. Again, I don't know if it was injury, if it was coaching preference. Just you didn't see him. And then you did see him. He came in to the Oregon State game, I think. He might have even been at the Illinois game during the tournament. So I think it was just a mix of coaching staff or rotation not really having him fit in the right position. Or there were times where he was there and he just didn't produce. And it's like, well, is he only shooting? Like, what is the role? And then I think potentially maybe injury, coming off an injury year, is not always the easiest. So, again, his situation is even tougher, I think, than Frank's, just because he had a stellar freshman year, racked up the awards, but also I think made a huge impact to the team, a reliable shot after we had Ben Richardson, who was always a reliable shooting guard. So we had Clay, and then Clay, that was Clay's senior year. So it was like, oh, what are we going to do? And then it was like, oh, we got this kid Cooper, and Cooper put up the threes, and then just injury, and again, just bad timing for things. So again, sad to see him go. I really thought he could have, especially with this extra year, thought he could have even come back and dominated even more having an extra year. But again, looking for something else, and I'm excited to see. Wish him well. Just wish he was still a Loyola Rambler.
Yeah, I really don't mean to like rub salt in the wound or anything, but just like looking at his stats, he, in his last 11 games that he played, he scored in one of those 11 games. He scored. That was the Valpo game where he scored 8 points. And I remember like that game was like way too close. It was the game at.
He had a massive three, actually. I remember that. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like crazy. Like he just became inconsistent and wasn't getting consistent minutes, like you said. And I'll remember.
Yeah, I would actually argue more it was the coaching inconsistent minutes. Like,
for sure.
I actually don't think it was him being inconsistent. If you look at his shot takes, he never took more than in his last games, he took no more than two shots.
Yeah.
If you look at it since Bradley. So since January 25th to March, he took no more. Oh, and the Valpo game was 3 for 5. He had 8 points. Mm-hmm. So great game there. So I think I wouldn't say he was really him inconsistent. I think it was more the minutes, but that's just my take on it.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying. I think there's something to that for sure. I'll definitely remember him more for his freshman year, just like putting up threes. He did, like you said, his high was 19 points against UMKC. He had, I think, like at least 6 or 8 other 10-point games. He started a few games. He started, looks like 10 games his freshman year. Played like a couple games. There's one game against Ball State. He played 38 minutes. Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah, he started a whole couple of games. Yeah, and then what I remember is he dropped 14 points in the game against Bradley, which everyone else had a horrible game. So I'm pretty sure he probably was. I think he was the top scorer of that game for us.
Yeah,
I think he was. Yeah, he was. Cooper was the top scorer that whole entire game.
Yeah.
Marcus went 3 for Cooper was 5 of 6, 4 for 5 from three. Everyone else had a horrible day shooting. So I'll remember that game actually a lot. Because if you don't remember, he made a three from pretty much the logo.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That, yeah. Tough one.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just injuries, man. Injuries suck. We could say also like the coaching consistency, which I think is legit, but injuries suck. I mean, there's no way around that. Like, especially when it's a shooter and his shoulder is messed up, like that's really hard to recover from. And especially when you're not getting consistent playing time, it messes with your confidence. It messes with your head. Like it was a bad situation for him to be in last year. And I think it is best that he does transfer. I think that just makes a lot of sense for him and his career going forward. Like you said, just wish him all the best. I hope he goes somewhere. I hope he's able to play 30 minutes a game. I hope he's able to chuck up threes and make, 45% of them. And I'm sure, again, like, I wouldn't be surprised if I turn on SportsCenter one night and he scored 38 points, right? And he had a buzzer beater to win or something like that. Like, he just has – the talent's there. There's never a question of talent for him. So, hopefully we can see him and his hair in a different uniform hitting threes and looking good doing it. So, I think that, like, it's as far as those two, that'll do it. I mean, we're gonna still talk about all the rest of the players. I think those two in particular were probably the most difficult ones actually to talk about their year in review, just because Frank, there was none, and then Cooper, like, is just hard because we knew he was capable of so much more, and it just ended up being a minutes crunch for him. Lou, any more thoughts? Anything you want to talk about, or I don't know?
I think the biggest elephant in the room is we're waiting to still see technically what our seniors are doing. So when we know, I think we'll all know, and we'll be excited to talk about that.
Yeah, hopefully by next podcast, we'll be able to talk about that. Hopefully there'll be some news. Either way, one way or the other, I don't care. I mean, I do care, but I just want to be able to talk about it. Like, I want to be able to figure out what our lineups look like, all that kind of stuff. So, I think that's all I got. Any last thoughts, Lou?
No, sir.
Cool. All right. Well, then that is going to do it here from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.